This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
The Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre presents Well, Well, Well on Joy, a show that's all about sex, health and well-being.
Hello and welcome to Well, 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 the show brought to you live every Tuesday from midday. I'm Adam and my co-host today are Tex and Jesse. Thanks to Gazman for playing that extra song instead of the news, because there was no one for the news today and we missed that. But thanks to Gazman for the morning show. How are we today, guys?
Really, really enthusiastic about being here, Adam, because it's a cold day, but it's not raining, so I'm really happy about that.
Freaking freezing today.
No, I was going to say it's really cold today, but people must be so sick of us hearing us complain about the cold all the time. It's kind of like, well, let's just suck it up and deal with
it. It's like shock horror, Melbourne. It's winter.
I know, yet again.
Who would have thought it?
And quite possibly, of course, anybody listening in different parts of the world may be basking in sunshine and could quite possibly be sick to death.
Let's dedicate this show to those who are basking in the sunshine, then, shall we?
And if you are, send us a message and let us know, because we really want to hear from you. We want to be jealous.
That would be good.
So what is Well Well all about, Jesse?
So at Well Well Well, we talk about topics that relate to the GLBTI community. We're all about sex, health and well-being.
So, Jesse, what's planned for everyone on this week's Well 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 show?
Oh, well, this is extremely exciting because we've got our very own... You can't laugh when I say that, Adam, okay? But we do have one of our colleagues from VAC, a very dear friend of ours, Budi Sidato, who is going to come and have a chat about some of the various peer education groups that we've got.
Indeed, and some people might have had some involvement with groups as they've been running for, a plethora of years, many years. They've been running, actually, since the organisation first began in various forms.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good to know. Like, because I know some people personally that have actually done the groups and have found them really informative, and it's a great way to sort of meet new people and learn some social skills and, I guess, get some social networks coming up and about. But I think we'll actually get into a little bit more about how programs run and exactly what each the programs are.
Yeah, absolutely. So like we said, get in contact with us today, get involved in the conversation, or feel free to ask questions, or, you know, let us know at which sunny destination that you are hanging out at. So Tex, please do tell our listeners how they can get in touch with us.
Well, indeed, there's a plethora of ways of people to get in contact with
us. Okay, and that's the second time you've said plethora.
Good.
Are you counting out there, listeners?
Plethora?
You could send us an email or an SMS. Both of those come to us here in the studio. The email on air at joy.org.au, or you could SMS us on 0427 joy 949. You can also message us via facebook.com/wellwellwelljoy, or you can call the Joy studio 1300 joy 949.
Joy.
This is Well 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 on Joy 94.9, and we've already had a message come in. It's from Brett and Mark at the Laird Hotel in sunny Abbotsford.
Hello, Brett and Mark.
They've said a plethora of wells, high techs and the team.
A plethora of wells, that's cute.
Today we are introducing and welcoming back to Well 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 the Peer Education Officer at the Victorian AIDS Council, Budi Sidato. So, I knew I had to get it wrong.
That's
Budi
okay.
Sidato.
Anyway, so
Budi, welcome to Well Well Well.
How are you today? Thanks. I'm well, thank you. And you will get there. We only know each other for about a decade, but that's fine.
Indeed.
We'll get there one day.
We'll get there one day. Now, Budi, can you tell us about some of the peer education groups that are run out of the Victorian AIDS Council?
So we run several peer-based workshops, and the most popular one is Young and Gay for young gay men, so age 26 and under, and then that's followed by the Not So Young group, so the Momentum group from 27 years and above.
Tactfully put.
Yes, not so young. So we like to see the Momentum as young and gay older brothers, and we got relationships that's open to all ages, and we got two specialized groups for gay Asian men, Gay Asian Proud and Talk Asian. So those are the ones that I'm coordinating at the moment.
And so when you talk about peer education, for people that might not be familiar with either the concept or the terminology, what is peer education, or what are the principles that underlie it? What makes peer education peer education?
I feel like I'm going back to my job interview when I first got this position. You know, what defined to us what peer education is?
Maybe you are.
Maybe I am. Maybe I have to reapply for my own job. So peer education, in a nutshell, is a very, very simple concept. So basically what we do is we educate people from different community and provide them with enough skills and knowledge to help them, their own community, in a lot of topics and in a lot of spectrum. Obviously run through Victorian AIDS Council, the focus is on sexual health. So what we do is we train people to become a peer facilitator or a peer educator, so they can talk to their friends about sexual health, as well as issues or topics around sexuality and relationships. So, and in a way, what we do here at Well is a form of peer education, because we are, in one way or another, connected to the GLBTIQ community. And what you do here by providing a sexual health information or having guests talking about specific topics, you are providing education to your peers. And in this context, the peers are the listeners of Joy.
So I'm envisaging that you can, in order for these programs to be successful, you have quite a lot of volunteers involved. How do people decide to become a volunteer? What's involved with that process, and what kind of training do they go through?
So the volunteer stake is very simple. So the main criteria is they have to be a past participant of the workshops themselves. And we do that because we want to make sure that the future peer facilitators are aware of the workshop environment, they're aware of the content, and they also know about different topics that's discussed in the group. And then after, you know, but we don't really screen them, but we kind of suss them out. And after we suss them out, then they have to participate in a peer facilitator training. And that's really about providing them with the skills to run a workshop and how to communicate to their peers and how to ease themselves, as in not feeling nervous when they're standing in front of group, and how to manage group discussion as well, while still being respectful of individuals' opinions.
So what came first, the chicken or the egg? Because obviously you needed peer facilitators to run the peer group, but you've got to be a participant to actually become a peer facilitator.
Well,
that was just to trip you up.
No. but you know, when as Tex mentioned, when it first started, then of course is the, you can say it's the chicken first, you know, because the organization had to train a lot of new people. And back then there was a lot of focus on making sure that our sexual health messages got across to the community. We were in the AIDS epidemic back then, so there's still a lot of education that needs to happen back then. And of course we got key people to train them up, provide them with the information to educate them, and then that's the domino effect starts to happen from then on.
So my assumption is that because of the groups, like especially with Momentum, that it's 26 and plus, I think that you mentioned
27
and plus.
Yeah. I got a bunch of 26 year olds calling me and said, we want to be in the young ones, we don't want to be in the old ones.
Well, that's my assumption with the young and gay, that it must be hard to retain sort of volunteers, because you become a facilitator, you've gone through the group of young and gay, and then at a certain point that we've all reached except for Jesse, where you have to tick the next box in the age bracket, that they can no longer be facilitators for young and gay, or can they still be?
Well, they can't, because it has to be peer. So for young and gay, the peer component is they have to be within the same age group. So if once they reach a certain age, then the volunteer facilitators have to move on to a
ageism
group. It's not ageism, but it is basically what the principle of peer is. So to be peers, you do have to be within that age group, and then they decide whether they can move on to Momentum or relationships. Or, you know, for some of our volunteers, after doing young and gay for a number of years, that's enough. You know, they've done their duty to the community.
So I'm guessing it's been a while since you've been part of young and gay.
Oh, look, we don't want to mention my age, but yeah, it has been a while. And that's how I started with PAC. I started as a young and gay facilitator. So that was back in the days.
Well, there you go.
And so how many groups run a year? Like, do they run at different times, or are they all run at the same time? Or
so the benchmark is 3 groups each in a year. So in 1 year, we run 9 groups for peer education, and that's just for young and gay, momentum and relationships. With Talk Asian, it's a bit different because it's run by gay Asian men for gay Asian men. So we try to do it once a month, and that's in addition to that 9 workshops in a year. So there's always activities happening at VAC.
Joy 94.9.
This is Well on Joy 94.9, and we're chatting with Buddy Sedato, the Peer Education Officer from the Victorian AIDS Council. So you talked a little bit about what peer education is and what not, but so what's actually involved in a peer ed group?
What it involves, as in topic-wise, or what is it that we actually do?
Probably a little bit of both.
A little bit of both, yeah.
Obviously, you said there's a sexual health focus, but, I mean, how do you stretch sexual health out over so many years, or how do you condense sexual health, or what topics do you choose that's most, I guess, pertinent to the group that you're actually speaking to?
Well, you just used a big word there, pertinent. I don't even know what pertinent means.
Relevant.
Oh, relevant. Okay. ESL, English second language. So basically, what we do, and topic-wise, because sexual health, it doesn't stand on its own. So back in the days, this is predate me. There's been recognition that for gay men to be able to communicate and practice safe sex, we also need to address a lot of issues that they are facing, because we know that stuff around self-esteem and stuff around sexual identity can have an influence on their ability to communicate safer sex with their partners. And that's what the workshop does. So the workshop's nickname is a coming out workshop. It's not a coming out workshop, but the community just give it a nickname as a coming out workshop. And it's providing a space for all the participants to really share their story about how they come to terms with their same-sex attraction and their sexuality and their sexual identity. And through that, that's when we start linking it with sexual health messages. So the big one that we recognize is issues around self-esteem and internalized homophobia, and how those two issues have a factor in the way gay men ability to communicate and to practice safer sex. And so we talk about it. We talk about it in 1 week, and then we talk about empowering them to still maintaining the safer sex messages or still practicing safer sex, even when their self-esteem is not as high because something happened in their life. So, and that's how we wrap around the sexual health messages. And we do have 1 week dedicated just to talk about sex and sexual health. That is, sexual health 101, basically.
So it's not like a lecture, tutor sort of a thing. It's more of an interactive, shared experience.
Yep. And that goes with the peer education model. Peer education model is not about a lecture. It's not about them sitting in a lecture hall and listen to someone talking about sexual health or talking about coming out or talking about self-esteem. It is about shared experience. And through that shared experience, that's where the learning happens. And that's where the role of the volunteer facilitators is to facilitate that discussion and to make sure that people feel supported and make sure that people have linkage to available services to help them deal with some of the issues that they brought up.
Well, how do you deal with issues around like boundaries and confidentiality? Because if people are sharing their experiences and stuff like that, then is there sort of like a thing set up at the very start saying, no, we're not, this whatever's said in the room stays in the room, so that if people disclose certain things about their sexual history or maybe about their HIV status or whatever it may be?
Absolutely. That's part of week one. Week one is about setting up the group, and week one is about creating a group agreement where confidentiality is very, we uphold that rule very highly. We can't create an environment where people feel safe if people talk about what's going on in the workshop to the people outside of the group. So confidentiality is a must. And in the past, we had a very, very, rare occasions where participants break confidentiality, and we actually have to tell them, to remind them, and if necessary, then we have to invite them not to return to the workshop, because it's crucial.
Yeah, absolutely, especially because people will be sharing about topics that are quite private, and I'm sure you know, not wanting the public to know. So it's quite important that you establish that before you go ahead, isn't it?
Absolutely. And this is about creating a safe environment. You can't have a safe environment if people gossiping outside of the group. And making sure there's confidentiality as well, it creates an environment where they start building trust with each other. And that's a nice thing about peer education workshops, because the participants form such a strong bond with each other that they become friends, and some of them friends for life.
Yeah. So what are the main differences between young and gay and momentum? So other than just the age separation there, what are the differences in the topics that you learn or the approach that you take with the different groups?
Well, the main thing with momentum is obviously they're coming from an older group. So with older group, they have a lot more life experiences, and we approach that differently to young and gay. So young and gay is about the period of discovery, and with momentum is about, the way I put an analogy to it, is a period of reasoning. So, you know, they live number of years living as a heterosexual man. For some of them were married with children, so they live a certain identity for a number of years before they came out. So their approach to internalized homophobia, to self-esteem, and to coming out are quite different to the younger generation, to the younger ones, to young and gay participants.
Yeah.
And we use that life story to not only make the group, because everyone feels a sense of connection, especially when other participants have gone through the same thing, but we also use it in sexual health education. You know, so how do you practice safer sex when you've been out, you only been out for 6 months, you've been living a heterosexual life for 40 years.
Absolutely. You know, and times were different back then as well, so their experience on it all would be completely different.
Absolutely.
I've missed my favorite show on Joy. What do I do? What do I do?
Podcasters to battle!
Joy podcasters fight on tirelessly to bring you the best bits of every show. So if you've missed something recently on Joy, don't worry, our podcasters have your back. Head to joy.org.au and click on the podcast tab, or look us up on iTunes. Podcasters on Joy 94.9, fighting tirelessly for your listening pleasure.
This is a Whoa 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 on Joy 94.9, and that was Belinda Carlisle with Mad About You. And we're mad today. We're mad about peer education. And we have our special guest in the studio, our colleague Buddy, talking about the peer education programs at the Victorian AIDS Council. Now, Buddy.
Yes.
We've talked about peer education in the form of young and gay and momentum. You've mentioned the relationships group. What makes the Gay Asian Proud different to the other groups, if you like?
Well, I did in the name, and that's very specific.
Other than the name,
and a very specific focus on the target population. So obviously, it is for gay Asian men, and it started back in the late 90s. I think as part of FAO, or the Australian Federation of AIDS Organization, they made a national wide program to cater for gay Asian men, and the main reason was because there was a trend mostly overseas of gay Asian men contracting HIV, because they experience double marginalization on the basis of their sexuality and their race. And that's how the group started, to my understanding. It was back in the days before I started at VAC, and I actually a participant in Gay Asian Proud back in 1998 when I first came to Australia. And from then on, the group has been going since then. And the difference is it does provide a safe place for gay Asian men to talk about race, because in my own personal experience as well, when race is mentioned, some people think that we only focus on that. We only focus on our cultural and ethnicity. But for us, it's not the focus. For us, it's the living reality. That's what we have to deal with every single day. So providing that safe space where we can talk about it quite openly and offering support to each other is quite important.
Can we delve into that just a little bit deeper? When you talk about this double marginalization of these group of people, what is it that they face, and how would you address these issues?
Oh, look, this is going back to...
And, you know, also, how is it different from other culturally and linguistically diverse groups, you know?
It's not different, because anyone from culturally and linguistically diverse communities experience one multiple level of prejudice and discrimination. So once again, the focus on gay Asian men back then was because it was very obvious that gay Asian men encounter a lot of rejection just based on their race. Got nothing to do with their personality, it's purely on their race. So this can all the research shows that having a lower self-esteem associated with race can influence their ability to negotiate and communicate and practice safer sex with their sexual partners. Because after being rejected for so many times, once you find a partner that's willing to have sexual interactions with you, you know, if they insist on not using condom or not practicing safer sex, it is more likely that you will agree to that.
Just go for it
because you just don't want to go through the same rejection over and over again.
Sure.
Well, obviously there's overt discrimination.
Discrimination.
I am good at words. But the same thing that some people say, on maybe sort of dating apps and whatnot, no Asians, no offense. And it's kind of like they might potentially feel like they're not being racist. Or same as well, maybe no black guys or no white guys or no whatever sort of potentially, I guess, identifiable characteristic. And they think that's fine to actually put up there. But does that sort of add to the marginalisation? Or is that something that people just go, oh, whatever, that's just a preference. Let's not worry about it.
Well, I hope you can use this opportunity to educate the other people that do that. So this could be good. Without diving into the whole sexual racism debate all the time. But I think it'd be good to hear it from the other side. And you know, this, like Adam said, people say, oh, no offense, they're not trying to hurt you, they're not doing it
so let me put it in a different way. It's like we are walking down the street, or we just walking, a group of gay men, and someone driving past in a car saying the F word, you know, not the other F word, but you know, other poof. Or
how many F words have we got?
Let's say
imagination's going wild now.
Let's say they yell out poof, and then after that they say no offense. That's the same way, you know. It still bring that memory of being rejected and not being seen as a proper human being, but being seen as just an object.
Oh yeah.
So that's how I like to explain it to people. Just imagine walking down the street, minding your own business, and someone yell out, "Pufta, no offense."
It's almost the same like thing. Yeah, and it's like when people. I maybe won't delve into my own personal experience too much, but you know, when they go like, oh, I love Asian girls, and I actually walk away and say, I'm not even going to dignify that with a response. No. Because it's because you fit this fetish, mm-hmm. and it's got nothing to do with the person that you are,
yep.
or anything like that. It's a prejudgment of you.
It is. So whether it is rejection or of
sexual fetishization,
it still have a damaging effect, because we are not seen as individuals, we are seen as just a race. So,
yeah.
That's one thing that people need to understand, that there is a person at the receiving end of saying no Asians. So it doesn't matter how you sugarcoat it, there is still a person, and we do have to respect that person.
Now, Buddy, when we're talking about culturally linguistically diverse groups, how do you keep politics and religion out of the groups, for example the Gay Asian Pride group? You're talking about a variety of men from a variety of different ethnic backgrounds. I mean, it could be someone who's identifies as Chinese, as Khmer, as Laotian, Indonesian, you know, all different sorts of layers of politics. How do you keep that apart?
Look, it's very difficult, and it requires a lot of understanding from the members as well, because yes, there's politics always play a part in our life, and on top of politics, there's also culture and religion as well. So how do we manage it with Gay Asian Pride? We just make it very clear from day one that this is not a political group, this is not a religious group, we are here of different nationalities, different ethnicities, different backgrounds, including socioeconomic backgrounds. And we are here because we share something in common. And that something in common is not just we are Asian, we also gay. And all of us have experienced some level of discrimination, whether that's from our sexuality or our racial background. And creating that safe environment is something that we monitor ourselves, including the members. So if the conversation turns slightly into a more uncomfortable topics where people started pointing fingers to each other because they disagree on either a political level or there's some, you know, some if there's some conflict between two nations and they start pointing fingers at each other, that's when we actually stop them and remind them again about the purpose of the group. It's difficult, but it's something that we have to do.
And so the conversation about anal sex and douching is much easier than having a conversation about religion and politics.
Absolutely.
I was just being facetious.
I would think so too.
Can you say those words on air? I'm not quite sure.
Of course you can. We're all about sexual health and well-being.
But as you're saying, like you sort of, I guess, keep a tab on conversations that might be happening like that. But what about racism within the group when people come in with preconceived notions of specific groups, especially because Asian, as Tex had mentioned, there's a diversity of ethnic backgrounds, mm-hmm. cultural backgrounds, religious backgrounds. So how do you deal with people's, I guess, preconceived notions? Is it the same way that you would do it with external groups or?
Look, that's a very interesting question and difficult to answer straightforward because there's a layer of racism. And one thing that we do address in Gay Asian Proud is and Talk Asian as well, is about internalized racism, because a lot of the members, including myself at one point in my life, we just didn't realize that we start to internalize all the bad stuff that people say about gay Asian men. We start, you know, some of our members start to see themselves as not attractive, that they can't find a boyfriend, that, you know, Australia is not really a welcoming country and all that kind of stuff. You know, it's interesting. One year I had one person who turns around to me and said, "Oh, look, I'm kind of expecting this group to be a little bit more mixed." And I asked him, "What do you mean by mixed?" And he said, "Well, you know, having Caucasians in the group as well." So because and after I had a chat with him, it was very clear for me anyway that in his view, in his mind, because he suffered from internalized racism, then for a group to exist, there must be a Caucasian person in there, because in his mind, it's all about, you know, this concept of if there's a white man there, then I might be able to find a future partner or something like that, you know, it was a few years ago, but there is that still that thinking about, I don't feel good about being Asian, so if we have someone who's from the majority group, maybe that can make me feel good about myself. So that kind of level of internalized prejudice that we talk about.
I do have another question. Do you remember when we had that cold forum a while ago? An interesting topic was brought up about, you know, an individual who, I can't remember what particular culture it was, but, you know, this person, they identified with the culture, you know, they identified with the culture's food, with the language, with their friends and all that kind of stuff, but they were not allowed to join the group. So, you know, how far does someone have to identify? Because is that also not a level of, you know, what is your race before you're allowed to join the group?
For me, and this is with Gay Asian Pride, sometimes I got inquiry from a single white man who wants to join our social activity because they want to meet Asian men, because they always find Asian cultures interesting. Their past partners always been Asian men and they just want to be part of that group. And I always have to explain to them that the purpose of the group is not a dating service. It is not for white men to seek Asian men or for Asian men to seek white men. Mm-hmm. It is about empowering gay Asian men to feel comfortable with their ethnicity, to feel proud about being Asian, and also to feel comfortable with their sexuality. And my answer to that kind of, you know, if I know the culture, I know the language, all my friends are from that culture, why do you reject me? My take on that is turn it back to the person and ask that person, so if you do understand what we're going through, why do you find it difficult for us wanting to have our own space?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can come in when we invite you, but you also have to respect our autonomy, that we want to have our own safe space.
Yeah.
And mainly because, and I said this quite openly, you know, people felt confronted with it because it reflect on their privileges. For some people, it is a privilege to learn a different language, to choose friends of a different culture, to only go holiday to a specific country.
Sure.
But for most of us, people who are culturally and linguistically diverse, it's not a privilege. We are part of that since the day we were born.
Mm.
Obviously, there's a lot of work that you've been doing with the variety of different peer education groups that you've got going on. So I heard that you guys had won a Globe Award last year.
Do
you want to tell us a little bit about that and which group won? Or was it the volunteers and had really had nothing to do with you? Or was it the program in itself in terms of its impact in the community? Or
Look, my ego says it got a lot to do with me, but no, it's not. So the Globe Award, so we got nominated as part of Healthy Communities, and Young and Gay was nominated because for the work that the program done, not to, to help young gay men to come to terms with their sexuality and providing them with sexual health education as well, and also putting or stress on the social connection that the participants build when they join the workshop, and how that connection can help them to feel that they belong to a group of people and to counter that feeling of alienation because of their sexuality. So we got it.
And so how do you convey that in an acceptance speech?
not very well, no. The listeners who were there at that night knew how that I can basically make a fool of myself on the stage. That's not something new to my colleagues in the studio, but for a lot of people it is something new.
Entertainment, love.
It is very much entertaining at my expense. But, you know, and I take a personal account here. I felt really privileged to accept that award, coming from Young and Gay as a participant to Young and Gay as a facilitator to now coordinating the workshop. So I have a lot of personal investment in the workshops, and it was such a privilege to receive that award.
And just to explain to the listener, the Globe Awards, Globe stands for the Gay and Lesbian Organisation of Business Enterprise. They've started up these awards in the community, and the awards are open again. They're recruiting people or looking for people to receive this year's awards. So if you want to find out more, you can go, just type in Globe Awards to your favourite search engine, perhaps the one starting with G. Now, Buddy, how can people get involved in peer education, both as being a participant, but maybe someone listening out there who may have been in a Young and Gay or Momentum or Relationships or Gay Asian Pride, any of the groups that you're involved with, but then want to perhaps become a facilitator of the groups?
Look, very simple. Just give me a call on 9865-6700 or go to our website at vac.org.au/peer-education, or you can just search it or using a search engine that should not be named. And basically how people can get in touch with me, and I can start explaining to them about the process, about registration process for the workshops, or if they want to be a volunteer, then I can do that as well.
So do you have to meet with them face-to-face and sort of sit down and sort of, I don't know, maybe see if there's anything sort of not quite right going on? Not that there, you know, not that there usually would be, but there must be some sort of informal process where it's more than just a phone conversation and then they rock up on the night.
You'll be very surprised. It's mostly done through phone, only because for some people, they've already, picking up the phone is already a big step for them, or sending an email is such a huge step, especially if they've been suffering from feeling depressed or down, or feeling not quite right with themselves because of their sexuality. So after that initial phone conversation or email conversation, that's when people start to disclose whether they want to join the group or if they actually will benefit more from having access to our counseling service. And that's usually done in a phone conversation, even if during the workshops, then they feel the need to speak to one of our counselors, then we provide that pathway as well. So yeah, so it's all about making sure that the participants are well looked after and making sure that they have access to a lot of services that we run, or if we don't run the service, then we make sure that they know where to go.
Well, Buddy, thanks very much for coming in today and chatting to us about peer education. It's been really fascinating. And obviously, for anyone who wants to know more about either the peer education programs or actually pick up the phone and just want to have a new social connection group and have some fun and learn along the way.
Absolutely.
Then contact the Victorian AIDS Council on 9865 6700 and ask to speak to the peer education officer, Buddy Sedato. But Buddy, thanks very much for coming
in. My pleasure.
Thanks.
Thank you for inviting me.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9.
At Joy 94.9, there are approximately 300 volunteers bringing you over 75 shows, 24 hours per day, 7 days a week. That's a lot of facts and figures to take in, but here's one more number for you to think about. 1-300-569-949. That's the number to call to talk to the Joy sales team about becoming a Joy sponsor. One phone call can get your business on air and online, reaching thousands of Joy listeners at a price you can afford. 1-300-JOY-949. That's 1-300-569-949.
And this is Well 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 on Joy 94.9. Can you believe that we've come to another show, the end of another show, guys?
That was quick.
It was quick. We did fly through. So thank you so much to Buddy and to Brett and Mark the Laird for actually sitting in their plethora of wishing wells, was it?
Plethora of wells.
Plethora of wells, yes. Right. Well, I guess there's one thing that we can sort of, I guess, give a little bit of a plug to, and that's Winter Days. You might have heard about it. It's been kind of promoted everywhere,
I think. It has indeed.
So Winter Days is coming. It's coming up soon on Friday, the 31st of July, as part of this year's Midwinter Festival. So it's taking inspiration from Burning Man. Okay, interesting.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, well, I didn't know about that.
So you'll be there now.
I think that's a bit of a stretch. But
so Winter Days will be focused on radical inclusion of all parts of our community and beyond. So come say hi. Some of the VAC crew will be there to handing out exclusive party giveaways. And during the night, and they'll be working with Harm Reduction Victoria to help make everyone's night as safe and enjoyable as possible. So Winter Days has partnered with Positive Living to promote inclusion and awareness of the reality of HIV by supporting the Enough campaign. Early bird tickets are already sold out, so get in quick if you don't want to miss anything out. So it's actually at the Royal Melbourne Hotel. Oh, that's actually a really good venue. Friday the 31st of July 2015 from 11 p.m. till 7 a.m. plus an after party. So tickets are available via Winter Days and Midsummer websites. But for more information, go to www.winterdays, and that's days with a D-A-Z. e.com.au, or for media inquiries, contact Alex Schofield at alex@forgeandtemper.com.
Oh, so, and you just slipped in then about after party. I just thought I'd point out to people it is actually a dance party.
Yes.
Yeah, you didn't mention that.
No.
But Winter Days, we used to have Winter Days back in the day. Back in the 80s.
Well, it was Shed 90s. 14, wasn't it? When
That's right, down at Docklands, which is now a suburb.
Yeah, I remember it when it was at Queen's Bridge Hotel.
Indeed.
Yeah, it was always very good.
Indeed, and great dance party. It'll be a really good, fun night out for the community and for people to get all hot and sweaty in the middle of winter, which will be lots of fun.
Well, exactly, and it's good to see something coming back that's got a lot of history and a lot of tradition to it. And, you know, I'd be enjoyed to sort of go along and see what it's all about, really.
Yeah. Could be fun.
Have a bit of a shuffle.
Exactly. So this is Well on Joy 94.9. We've been Adam, Tex and Jesse. And we'll see you next week. And stay tuned next week for a very important announcement from one of our panelists. Dun, 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 dun.
Is it me?
No.
No. Way to ruin it. Well, thanks, guys. We will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.